Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told this parable to those among the Pharisees who loved money. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." The man who had been rich said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Can you hear me? So Father Gary said, I need to preach down here. That's apparently what we're doing now. I do what he asks. I make an assumption when I go to Mass, which I think is not a good assumption, and I hope you can help me fix that. I've been working on that this week. I make the assumption that we are all Christians. I'm assuming that we're all Christians. How would I know? How could I possibly know? And yet, it's what I have come to expect, that everyone here is a Christian. And you may think to yourself, it's straightforward. Is it straightforward? I mean, the idea is more or less, isn't it, that in the Catholic community, at least, we think if someone's been baptized and they're regularly attending Mass, that person is a Christian. That's a common understanding in the Catholic community. In fact, it's true, but not enough. It doesn't capture the whole of what it means to be Christian to say that we have been baptized, if you've been baptized as I have, that you go to Mass every Sunday as I do, that you receive our Lord in the Eucharist, and you receive the sacraments. There's more to it than that. In fact, our Lord tells a parable this evening, which really, I think, challenges my understanding of who is a Christian, of even perhaps how much of a Christian I am. Did you hear what he said about the parable? There's a rich man. And this rich man is in hell by the end of the story. He's in hell. What has he done wrong? A poor man is by his gate, at the entrance to his place, and every time he goes by him, he just keeps going. All this rich man has done, according to Jesus' story, is he just keeps on walking by him day after day. In fact, if you translate it into what we're doing and who we are this evening, we could well imagine, in fact, it could easily be me. This man could be baptized, receiving the sacraments, even going to reconciliation and being forgiven for the sins he confesses. And yet, what has he done wrong? He's missed out on something that Jesus says is essential. He has not noticed or not cared about the suffering of someone he saw each day. Do you know how easy it is to do that? I was in Toronto last week, and if you're in downtown Toronto, there are people, literally, as you probably know, by the side of the road, like lying on the sidewalks or huddled in different ways, asking for money, asking for help, just to give one example. How about in your life? Do you know someone this very evening who is suffering or struggling, someone you would love to reach out to, but for different reasons may not have reached out to? What do we do with this possibility that all of us have fallen short of what it means to be a Christian? That while we recognize the significance of the God-given gifts of the sacraments and the practice of the faith, unless we are able to notice and respond to everyone in our lives who is suffering, something's missing. What is it that makes someone a Christian? What do we mean when we say that someone is fully a Christian? Not just kind of marginally in the most minimal way possible, but fully a Christian. Who has actually done what Jesus calls upon us to do by telling this parable? Who has actually always gone out of their way to reach out with everything they have to someone suffering and in need? I can only think of one answer. Jesus himself. Jesus comes to every one of us in our suffering and need, and he gives all of himself on the cross for our salvation, for our ultimate healing, comfort, even to give us the joy and peace of fellowship with his Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven. Only Jesus fully fulfills what he is telling us we all need to do. So, if you think I'm a Christian, you're right, I'm a Christian. That's why I'm here. Father Gary would not allow me to preach unless I was a Christian, and he knew that he could trust me to preach the faith of the church. But let me tell you about my trip to Toronto, and you can tell me if I sometimes fall short. So I had a kind of dramatic slash funny event that took place. I was in Brampton at my parents' place. I had to go early to Toronto for a family event. I had to pick up the tickets before the rest of the family went down. So I left my mom and dad's place in Brampton, driving my wife's car, fine. But within like 30 seconds of leaving their place, the radio just turns itself off. All of the gauges on the dashboard start going like that, and the headlights aren't working. So the battery light's on, another light's on. I'm thinking to myself, I left my mom and dad's place around 7, hoping to get downtown around 9. I have to get these tickets before, I have to be there by around 9. What am I supposed to do? If I stop driving, the whole family will miss out on this big family event. Can you guess what I did? What would you do? I prayed really hard. I did. I prayed a rosary. I asked a Blessed Mother to intercede for me so I would not be stuck by the side of the road. I don't have a cell phone, so I'd just be stuck. Or worse, or even just miss on this opportunity to get the tickets for this family event. My mom and dad, my kids, my wife, we're all meeting downtown. I had to get the tickets. So I prayed really hard. And I hope when you're in a similar situation, which turned out to be not that dramatic, but I really felt like kind of, like what could happen if the car just stopped running, which has happened to me before, by the way. What happens when your car just stops running, but, you know, in rush hour traffic heading downtown? I made it. I'm fine. Am I a person of faith? Yes and no. Who was I praying for? Me. And I can tell you that's probably the most intense prayer time I've had this week. Who was it for? Me. Am I a person of faith? Am I a Christian? Yes. But when I went downtown, as you know, as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, how many people did I see suffering? Literally, you could write the description from the gospel passage read out. How many people did I see? And what did I do for them? So what does it mean to be a Christian? If Jesus is the only one who truly fulfills what he asks of us, at least it starts, I think, with an acknowledgement that we have all fallen short of what God calls us to. None of us fully fulfills the requirement of caring for every suffering person in our lives. How could we even do that? I don't know. And that means, if you're following me this far, we need to bring in an important word that we all need: conversion. Conversion, which means that every day, and maybe even several times through the day, I've got to keep reminding myself to turn back to Jesus and his priorities, and not me and my priorities. That I've got to start noticing people in my life who are suffering and reaching out to them when and how I can. Yes, we do receive the power of the Holy Spirit when we're baptized. Yes, we receive our Lord himself in the Eucharist, which is what we're celebrating today. But what's it for? What's asked of you if you are sharing in these sacred mysteries? Who in your life is waiting for someone, maybe you, to reach out to them? What does it mean to be a Christian? It's not an easy question to answer, I don't think. But as I said, I would start with this. Consider acknowledging your need for conversion, as I need to as well. We all need conversion. The Catechism of the Church says that. Everybody needs conversion, ongoing conversion. And if you don't know what the word conversion means, it just means turning back to Jesus and making him the center of your life, making his priorities your priorities. Asking for his help when you don't know what to do. Asking for him to lead and guide you with everything you have in your life. That's a bit of it anyway, conversion. But you know, it won't stop there. Because as the parable says, if we are in conversion, if we have begun to have the faith that Jesus calls us to, then we will find ourselves turning to the people around us in our lives. Who in your life this very evening, if you thought about it, who is one suffering person in your life, whether it's material suffering or physical suffering, or most importantly, spiritual suffering? Can you think of one person in your life who's suffering? Is that person the Lazarus, the poor man described in the parable, whom Jesus is calling you to reach out to? What would happen if you did? And what if the most precious gift in your life is the gift of faith in Jesus Christ? Faith we receive in baptism, faith we renew through all the sacraments, the Eucharist, and reconciliation. And what if you knew there was at least one person in your life who did not yet have that gift of faith? Whose responsibility are they? Remember what Cain said to God. Am I my brother's keeper? That was Cain's answer to God when God asked him about his brother Abel. Am I my brother's keeper? Maybe that's the question the rich man doesn't want to think about. Is he actually responsible for this man who happens to be by his doorpost every day? Is he actually responsible for him? Who in your life is missing the most precious thing of all, which is faith in Jesus Christ and membership in his church? The only source of hope that we know here on this earth. I share this with you because next month, each Sunday, we've been asked by Pope Francis and our bishop to focus on our mission. What is our mission? What am I talking about? We'll be talking more about these things in the next few weeks, but let me just read you a little bit from what the Holy Father said. He said these things. He said, St. John Paul, formerly Pope John Paul, exhorted the Church to undertake a renewed missionary commitment. In the conviction that missionary activity renews the Church, revitalizes faith and Christian identity, and offers fresh enthusiasm and new incentive. The Pope goes on to say, faith is strengthened when it is given to others. So if you believe that you might need conversion of the kind I'm talking about, as I do, then one of the things that the Holy Father is asking you to consider is, with whom can you share your faith? Who needs that most precious of all gifts? And what would you do if you knew someone who needed the gift of faith? What would you do? We have an answer. Okay. So starting this Wednesday evening, Holy Family is running once again a very simple set of conversations designed to help people feel welcome by the Christian community, by us, and giving them a chance to encounter Jesus Christ for themselves, a chance to choose Him, because that's what He calls all of us to, and eventually, we hope, journey to membership in the church, Wednesday evening at 7. Now, right now, in this parish, I looked at the list, there are 15 people signed up. 15 people who believe that they know somebody, maybe themselves, who needs to know Jesus. I believe, from what Father tells me, and I come here about once a month, there are about 350 of us who come to celebrate the Eucharist every Sunday. How can there be only 15 of you, of us, who know someone who needs Jesus Christ? When I think about 15 out of 350, I think something's missing. Let me close with a quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, "This principle runs through all of life from top to bottom. Give up yourself, and you will find your real self. Lose your life, and you will save it. Submit to death, the death of your ambitions, your favorite wishes every day, the death of your whole body, in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being, and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will ever really be yours. Nothing that you have not given away will ever really be yours. If you have not yet given away your faith to someone else, it's not really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay." The rich man from the parable. "But look for Christ, and you will find Him, and with Him, everything else thrown in."